Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God has so many wonderful things to say to us. Good things, treasures to say to us. There's treasures of faith in His words. See, the Lord means what He says. And when we believe Him, the backbone of our faith is what he promised us. He said, you believe on Jesus Christ, you will live forever in His kingdom. And you can prosper in His kingdom. There are no limits in what you can do in His kingdom. We have to be like Him. The Lord loves us. He doesn't do hateful things. He doesn't do evil at all. He never did. Even the worst judgments, when people died, it was because He had to do justice. He loves people and He loves everyone, but He cannot allow sin in His kingdom. The earth is created to judge sin. One scripture says Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. The earth, this planet, was designed to judge sin once and for all. This is where Satan is defeated. In the middle of the land in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ defeated all sin on Mount Calvary that day. Now He loves us, and He gave us the power to become the children of God. One scripture says the angels desire to look into salvation that we enjoy. We are the sons of God. We've been made righteous. We've been made righteous because we believe on Jesus' finished works. That's why, that's the only reason I'm righteous at all. And the Lord loves us. He loved me. He died for me when I was, sin caused me to run from God, just like everybody else. Isaiah wrote that we hid as if it was our faces from Him. Now this is everybody. Adam was the first man to run from God because of sin. But now that Jesus came and destroyed it, we can live a new life. And the secret is you have to look to God. Keep looking to Him. Keep hearing. Don't just get saved and try to do the best you can and try to stay out of trouble, which are good things to do. But look to the Lord and you'll destroy trouble. You don't have to fear trouble. You don't have to fear sin. You don't have to fear that you'll be lost again. You don't have to fear that you'll backslide. Just do the Word of God. Live by it. Whatever your goals and plans are that you desire to do, present it to God. The things you really desire in life, why not present it to God? Lord, these are my desires. This is what I want to do. How can I do these things and serve You? What is Your will for my life? Help me do all that's in Your heart. It takes courage to say that and mean it. And it also takes faith, because there are some things in God's will, once it's introduced, You may not desire it. Everything of God don't look desirable. But there is a desire to do it. I asked a man that was, he was called to the ministry before I was. He was around my age. I said, what was it like when the Lord called you to the ministry? He said, first you get a desire. And that was from the heart. He spoke from the heart. He said, first you get a desire, and then you have a desire, but you know people are afraid of it. They want to do it, but they don't. But then it's an unknown, and people don't delve into unknowns too easy. You know, they don't go for what's unknown too easy. They don't know what's ahead. But they got this calling, and they don't know why. And then you look at yourself and you say, I can't see what God sees. Why did he call me? Why didn't he call somebody that was smarter than I am? But God called you because you're designed for what he called you to do. And that's where you're going to be affected. You don't have to, it says, another scripture said, it's not wise that we judge each other by our own standards, by ourselves. You don't look at somebody else and say, and evaluate them against yourself, or evaluate yourself over them. That's not wise. It's kind of like pliers and screwdrivers. They're both tools, but they have different functions. When you need pliers, they won't do the work of a screwdriver. Pliers make very loud screwdrivers. And I have caught the head of a boat or something with pliers. And it had a round slide, you know, it had the slotted head for the screwdriver. And it was enough to grip, but it didn't work as good as a screwdriver. So they're different ministers. You know, a hammer, you know, that'll make a lousy wrench. But it's good for being a hammer. And there are different types of ministers. Ministers are not the cookie cutter. We don't function the same way, and God never intended us to function the very same way. We share preaching the same message. The foundational parts of the word, we preach that. We agree with it. We got saved that way. We all believe on the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the foundation of what we do, of what we preach, and that's the foundation of everything we do. But our calling is unique of itself, and you have to receive, in order to be most effective, you have to receive God's instruction to you. He will tell you what to do. If he call you to the ministry, just agree to do it. And once he reveal to you what to do, be faithful with it. Make it happen. And don't let it die. Some preachers, God going to give them a role. Some are going to have to go to certain Bible colleges. Some won't even go to college at all. God will send them to certain pastors and certain churches. He had me to open my own business. And I worked on cars at people's houses. And he used that situation to train. He let me see what's out there. I happen to come from a very good neighborhood. And everybody that lived there, we all talk about how wonderful it was. When we lived there, we didn't realize how good it was. But as an adult and working at people's houses, I saw what else was out there. In our community, everybody knew each other. We knew their names. We knew their children. We knew the parents. They were like family to us. I came from Roslyn Heights between Zion City and Airport Hill. It was a beautiful neighborhood. And there was a lot of kindness. And being children, we did our mischief, but overall it was a great neighborhood. I miss it now. But what we have to do is use the goodness that we have. Now, my mindset when I first started that business, I thought everybody came from a good neighborhood. I knew that there were poor people and there were rich people. I figured some had better neighborhoods, but what we had a lot of love there. And there are other neighborhoods the same way. They're out there. But you know, in the 70s, people in Birmingham didn't deal with drugs too much. When crack came out, it ruined a lot of neighborhoods. But I got a chance to see what else was outside my neighborhood. I saw all kind of miseries, all kind of, you know, the most blessed people were people who loved God and went to church and took their children to church. You could tell they were the most blessed people. I worked on a lot of different people's cars. I worked on cars for all kind of people. Some were backslidden, some were, most people loved God. Some didn't care, you know, they were neutral about God. Some may have been atheists, I don't know. But I saw a lot of things that, and some of it I wouldn't mind forgetting. I saw needs. This is why sin corrupts everything. And every person that God made, he put treasures of himself in them. And what he created them to do and be, he put things in you already. You got to wake it up. Just got to wake it up. Let it come to life. And when it come to life, live. Enjoy life. God gave you life so that you can enjoy life. And as we go forward in him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I want to see the best things happen. I want to see people go forward, not backwards. And I want to see people enjoy life and not be terrified of the sin of this world. It's not God's will to be afraid of sin, terrified of doing wrong, scared that he's going to knock you out if you do something wrong or kick you out of the kingdom. He loves you and he's working with us. It's true that we need to live a life full of love. We need to love everybody. God had grace on man. We need to have grace on man as well. Hold no grudges. Whatever you do, don't sin. But don't operate in unforgiveness. God forgave us of many things. And some things we still have, it's still in our habit system. But you have to be endeavoring to deal with things that's wrong, that you know are wrong. Don't hold the truth in unrighteousness. And don't do the things that he said is blatant sin. And he listed them in Galatians chapter 6. Fornication, adultery, all those things, homosexuality, witchcraft, lying. Let all that old stuff die. Let it go. Jesus paid a high price to help us get rid of that. And people teach the false grace message where you can do these things and God, it's all right with God. It's not all right with God. He said that, he plainly said that if you do those things, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You're not, people that do those, practice those things are not going to heaven. And people that operate in unforgiveness, then they won't be forgiven, and we got a lot of sins to be forgiven of. God forgave us, we forgive others. And it's very important. Now, this kind of teaching is not popular, but it'll make you right with God. And if you're right with God, you're in the majority. A lot of people are not right with God. They should be. And some are weak because of poor teaching and doctrines of devil. Some are out of the kingdom because of it. And some are going to be out of the kingdom because of it. Because knowing God's word is our responsibility. He gave you his word. He gave you the law and the prophets. He gave you the word, Jesus gave us illustrations of life. He taught us how to live. Then he died for us and washed our sins away. Now, why would God go through all that trouble to help us get rid of our sins, and turn around and then let us enjoy sin? That's not going to happen. We're not supposed to hold the truth in unrighteousness. We're supposed to drive it out of our lives, just like the Hebrews, the Jews, were supposed to drive out the Canaanites. The children of God were supposed to drive out the witchcraft and the adulterous and fornicating misery of the Canaanites. When we live the life of God, we enlighten people to the rich salvation that God greater desires that people see. When we live the light of God's word, we preserve the earth. If we are light and we live the light, then we're like salt. And people have something to go by. It would have taken only 10 righteous men for God to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I'm glad that Abraham persisted in his quest to understand the limit of what God would do. Because it gave us knowledge. Now, Jesus made a statement. I said earlier that the earth is designed to judge sin. This is the place that God will destroy sin once for all. This is what Jesus did. In the middle of the earth, Mount Calvary in Jerusalem, history was made. That's what we were saying. That's why he laid his life down to save us. Now, Jesus made a statement that the Ninevites would judge the generation he was addressing because they repented in sackcloth and ashes. They didn't even allow their animals to eat. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And he said they would judge you because they did right. They came out of all kind of witchcraft and misery and idolatry. And they were devilish people. But they repented. And they stopped their wickedness. The king had the whole country to fast. And the animals with them. I've never seen a fast where the animals had to fast too. And the Lord knew that they would do this. That's why he did miracles to get Jonah there. He prepared a fish to carry Jonah back to land. And then he did a 3-day journey in one day because his love is so great, because he knew the people would repent. And the Lord was rushing because he had to judge them. See, people don't understand the laws of sowing and reaping. When the nation feels its sins up, something has to happen to that nation. And they were about to feel their sins. And the Lord had to warn them in time. And that's a story for another day. Where I had a friend, the Lord told me, I dreamt that he was dead. And when I woke up and asked the Lord about the dream, I said, well, what was that about, my Lord? And he said, tell Joe that he's going to have to stop what he's doing now or he will die. And he had the wisdom, that was a word of wisdom. If he didn't stop what he was doing then, he would die. And he did. 10 years later, he died. But he should have stopped 10 years earlier. The Lord has to, you know, whatever man sow, that's what he'll reap. If you sow it, you got to reap it. But the Lord knew that if Jonah would get to him in time, they would stop the process and he wouldn't have to judge him. And that's what happened. So they did right. They followed God and they became the judges of Israel. Now, when people have all kind of obstacles and they believe God anyway, they give the Lord something to work with. They operate in light. They're the light of the world, salt of the earth. And they give people, because they give people example. And their whole life suggests that you can enjoy the rich salvation that the Lord has provided me with. Because these are the days of grace, which is almost over, but they are the days of grace right now, in present time. But once the rapture happens, it's not, it's, you know, if somebody listens to this recording, it won't be grace after the rapture happens. After the rapture happens, it's the time of judgment. But people can get saved, but it's going to be hard to live on this planet in those days. And your survival rate is very slim. And because it's so soon, it's probably somebody's going to hear this recording during the tribulation. So I'm going to say this. Don't take the mark. Don't stop trusting the Lord. Be very sensitive to Him. Do all that He's written in the Word so that you can survive. It's important. Many people are going to receive the mark and they will be treacherous to you. So you can't trust people with the mark. They can't get saved. They are enemies of God. They're going to be tormented according to Revelation. But beyond all that, the love of God, the Lord He gave us many treasures in His Word. And there are many things we can do as we trust Him, as we go forward in Him. Do all to stand, because that's how we learn and grow. That's how we grow from glory to glory. Don't miss out on what the Holy Spirit can clue you in on. Ask Him questions. Be receptive. If you receive His Holy Word, then you change the facts. You change the course of your life. Now the Lord can talk to you in greater things. He can talk to you about greater things and greater things as you learn. As you become more trustworthy and more receptive to holy things, then the Lord can truly bless you to do even more. And don't be afraid of duty. It's a blessing. Whatever you do for God, you will be rewarded. Jesus said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. We buy gold by obeying Him. But I don't want to obey Him for gold per se. But if all the work that I do, I'll be rewarded. I just want to get people in heaven. The rewards of heaven, I'm sure I'd love to have them, I'll desire them. I want them, I know I will. But right now, I don't see all that. I just want people to get saved. That's the heart of God. I would love to see people, I'd rather see people get saved and be there than receive a lot of treasures. People are more important than any treasure. We're going to cast our crowns if we get them before the throne of God. But remember, there are treasures in God's Word. What you understand now is a fraction of what you really can receive. It comes from obeying God, from following God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Your life is very precious to Him. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus is our Lord.